Two of Jackson County's commissioners are retiring, opting not to run in this election, which means two of the three seats will feature new occupants come January. Don Skundrick's retirement in position one on the Jackson County Board of Commissioners paved the way for several candidates to file. Rick Dyer is the Republican candidate in that race and our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange. Rick, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Let's start with your occupational background and what you have that qualifies you to be county commissioner, you feel.
Well, just going back to background in general, my occupational background, first of all, I ran car dealerships for about 15 to 20 years. And in those positions, I was responsible for supervising and managing between 50 and 75 employees, multi-million dollar budgets, the day-to-day operating decisions of a large corporation. And then the last 6 years, I've had my own construction company, which opening a construction company in 2008 probably wasn't the best timing or the best decision at that point, had I known.
Right.
But the good news is my business, which is Northwest Energy Solutions, and we specialize in very efficient window replacement, residential window replacement. And over the last 6 years, because of pretty good budgetary and business decision making, I believe we've been able to thrive and we've been able to be profitable. And we've been able to replace windows and make homes, approximately 600 homes in Southern Oregon, more energy efficient, use less energy, of course, more affordable for the folks that are in those homes, and employ local labor to feed local families. So that's what I've been doing the last 20 years. I've also been, as you may know, a volunteer member of the Rogue Valley Transportation District Board, which also gave me the experience of reviewing and approving a countywide governing agency budget every year. And also, the day-to-day policy decisions of that board, which include dealing with the employees and the union contracts and things that are very applicable to the job of county commissioner. Now, as far as my educational background, I think that's also very pertinent and translates very well to the position. I received my bachelor's over there in Ashland in 1987. I received my bachelor's in business administration and accounting. And then in 2007, I decided to go back to school. One of my bucket list items, I guess, was to get my law degree and actually get my law license. So in 2007, I decided to do that. And along with my running my business, coaching, youth coaching, various sports, volunteering in the classroom, serving on the RVTD board, spending time with family and everything, I put in about 25 to 30 hours a week, reading law books, writing essays, taking tests, you name it. And long story short, after 4 years of that, I was able to graduate in the top third of my class and pass the most difficult bar exam in the country on the first attempt. So I think those things show an ability to take on complex tasks and understand complex ideas, set difficult goals and achieve them. And I think those are all very good attributes for a county commissioner to have, not to mention the things that I touched on as far as my involvement in the community.
Rick Dyer, let's get to the issues that top your list, because you put drugs and crime up on top of that list on your website. You point out that your mom lives in Josephine County, and you say the situation there scares you to death. How can Jackson County leaders keep what's happening in Josephine County from happening in Jackson County, where the services drop through the floor?
Well, and I think that the biggest and the most important thing that we can keep our eye on is just being fiscally responsible, making sure that we retain, especially through this period of declining revenues, that we are diligent with the resources of the county so we are able to financially provide those services, and not just the public safety, but all the services that people of this county rely on. And being very fiscally diligent and responsible is something that I've had to do my entire life by running businesses, so it's kind of a second nature thing to me. And I think that's, again, one of the most important things to do. Now, as far as addressing the problem directly, there are a lot of things we need to dig into. Again, until you really get into the nuts and bolts of it, I've had some conversations with folks on certain things we can do. We have an issue where we have to force release and early release a lot of prisoners from the jail that I think causes an issue to public safety, and there needs to be a way we can deal with that. there's a lot of things, like I say, you need to get in, dig into the nuts and bolts and find the solutions and work with other agencies and other smart folks in the Valley to address this. But it needs to be top of mind awareness and top of mind priority.
All right. Well, certainly in terms of revenue, there are two congressional proposals existing to open up the former ONC railroad lands to more logging to provide more money for county budgets. Do you favor either one of those?
Yeah, well, I absolutely favor 1526. Greg Walden and Peter DeFazio's, I think that's a more common sense approach. And I think it should appeal to most sides of this issue because it also does set aside about half of that ONC land to not be logged or not be touched. And the areas that it does consider and take into consideration the wetlands, the wildlife, the habitat, and the logging and the thinning that would be going on would be done using all of those forest management plan practices, which I think adequately does preserve the environment. And that's something I'm very concerned about, as well as I know just about everybody on both sides of this issue. So I definitely prefer that approach. And I think that's a kind of a common sense approach to it. And I'd like to see more people get behind it.
Economic development is a priority for you as well as the other commissioners. I want to remind our listeners, we're talking to Rick Dyer, Republican running for Jackson County Commissioner, position 1-800-838-3760, and jx@jeffnet.org. Economic development, I mean, really, how much can one or even all three county commissioners do? Is this largely a symbolic thing, or is there some real money and weight you can throw around as a commissioner?
You know, I think there is definitely things that can be done. I think we could take a much more direct and focused approach. We have one of the best places to live and work in the entire country. And until you're here and actually see what we have to offer, you may not know that. And we have tech sector businesses that are actually thriving here. The infrastructure is proper for their businesses to succeed. I was in a meeting the other day with the county commissioners, and Rogue Community College has pledged to do some training programs that actually allow us to have that qualified workforce that these businesses that may want to relocate here are going to need. So we've got that aspect covered. What we need to do, though, is have a more, like I say, more focused and aggressive approach. I think where we go to, there's hundreds and hundreds of these types of businesses down in Southern Northern California and wherever else in the country that if you had somebody directly contact them, say, hey, you know, we'd like you to come up here and see what we have to offer. You know, we've got land that you can actually own versus leasing down there. You can develop, you know, equity in an asset that way. We have one of the best qualities of life, and we have a great environment for your business to succeed. And I think if you actually identified those folks, brought them up here, we'd have a lot better ratio of closing the deal, for lack of a better term, but getting them here to relocate, I think that percentage goes way up. And some of those tech sector jobs, they employ people at 1.5, even 2 times our median income. And when you do that, you have a multiplier effect that creates more jobs for the goods and services that those folks consume. And that's the way you exponentially grow this economy. So I think it can be done. I think it is something that can really be taken on and moved forward.
Rick Dyer, some people say that jobs would be one of their primary reasons for supporting the construction of the Jordan Cove liquefied natural gas terminal at Coos Bay. Obviously, that's not in Jackson County, but the pipeline to carry gas to it would go through Jackson County. There's some concerns about that. Do you favor Jordan Cove?
Well, I favor anything that does create that. I mean, I won't say anything. There's, of course, considerations, but when you're talking about that type of number of jobs, even if it is over in the coast, it's going to come through Jackson County. I favor it, of course, because of the job creation. I understand there's property rights involved. I understand there's people that have legitimate concerns about it. And those are things that before I'd ever make a final determination, I would need to really dig into, you know, all of the factors and all of the people that are affected. But we do need jobs. And, you know, jobs don't always come without any negatives attached to them. And those negatives, as long as they can be mitigated, and you know the job creation is of a certain quality and quantity, I think we need to I think we need to really dig in and make sure that, you know, it's something that's viable to do.
All right. Among the concerns, other than the pipeline itself, though, is the fact that you have to frack to get the gas for export, and that potentially causes the escape of methane, a greenhouse gas. Do you have environmental concerns about fracking itself, and what's your position on human caused global warming? Nothing like a big multiple, huh?
Yeah. Well, I knew they weren't going to be easy. That's okay. Fracking itself, I've done some research in, and you know, it's I'm certainly not any sort of a fracking expert, and I do understand both sides and both concerns. Or the concerns on both sides. From what I could tell, I think it's a way to exploit some very reasonably priced energy for this country. We can become energy independent, even energy exporter, which are two huge positives. And the negatives, I know, I've seen the Gas Nation and Frack Nation documentaries, so you know the case on either side are very disparate, and I believe it's somewhere in the middle. And I think it's something that, with technology, can be done safely. And again, I'm not an expert, but that is my first take on it. And I think it's something that is so important to this country to have inexpensive energy. I mean, that's one of the main things I think that's really squeezing the middle class is the high energy costs. And as far as man-caused global warming. I believe, it's my opinion, and I know I have people who will disagree with me, and I respectfully will listen to their opinions. I do believe, you know, CO2 emissions can cause somewhat of a greenhouse effect. It can possibly raise slightly temperatures, but I don't think that the main cause of any sort of climate change is man-caused climate change. I think there's a lot of natural cycles that are in play there. And I think this is something that reasonable minds can still certainly disagree on. And, you know, I know that there's a vocal majority and more a less vocal minority, but there is a lot of dissenting opinions, and I think they're credible opinions. And that's why I say reasonable minds still disagree on this. So to me, there is no summary judgment necessarily on the man-made causes, or if it is a man-made cause of climate change.
Summary judgment. You went to a lawyer term there, I noticed.
Hard not to.
The library district formation and the GMO crop ban that appeared on the May ballot with you in the primary, you opposed both of those. Why did you take some positions? Why did you take those positions, and how do you reconcile those with the majority of the Jackson County voters who went the other way?
As far as the libraries, you know, my position was just this. I love the libraries. My son and I go to the libraries. I understand that they're a very important institution, but in my job, I go into a lot of folks' homes, and I see folks living on the margins. And the 60 cents per thousand millage put a lot of those folks over the margin. And that was something that I was sensitive to. It wasn't an easy decision at all, but just knowing what it could do to the most vulnerable folks here in Jackson County tipped the scale for me. It's passed now, so you know I'm paying my portion of it, and I hope that it's something that people can live with. But I do love the libraries, you know, and I never was an anti-library person. It was just the overall burden that it was going to place on a lot of folks who probably couldn't afford it. As far as the GMO ban, I wasn't necessarily anti-GMO ban. I didn't like the ordinance as it was written. Reading it as a lawyer is very vague. Sometimes laws can be determined void for vagueness. I thought it was susceptible to potential lawsuits that somebody was going to have to pay to defend. And there were some unknown potential large costs for the county. Hopefully those, you know, don't materialize, but those are the things. My priorities are especially on preserving the services that we have currently that are vital and that people depend on, our public safety, our health and human services, all these services that if you have these large expenses, they'll have to cut into those other services. And I didn't like those two aspects of it. But that being said, now that it's been duly passed, if I'm elected county commissioner, I'm certainly going to defend and enforce the GMO ban. It is, you know, people have spoken.
All right. Rick Dyer running for Jackson County Commissioner, position number one, Republican. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.